Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And as promised, I got me in OG right here. K Scott, what's up, my man?
Man, what is going on? I made it through the Utah weather that was out here in Houston because it was freezing cold a week ago. But I'm here, defrosted and living life.
Yeah, I feel really bad for you in your humid Houston weather. Man, shut up, dude. You're cold. It's like you got 40 degrees one day there. Shit, man. It was -5 here not too long ago.
Oh, my God. Hey,
I take it back. It wasn't -5. It was like, that's the coldest. Actually, this winter hasn't been too bad. Okay, I'm being a little dramatic.
It's still cold.
It's still colder in Houston, yeah, though. We don't got that humidity. I got to put lotion on all day, every day. Chapstick, ooh, the whole nine.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. Yeah, I don't want to do that no more.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump right into it because I know you're really busy and we got to make sure that we get this episode out to the peoples out there. Mm-hmm. And you being what's a common terminology, the famous terminology that that Kobe made popular, girl dad.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. So you being a girl dad, I wanted you to weigh on this with me, and then I'll have obviously Rojo's going to weigh in on the boy dad thing because he's got, ooh, two boys.
Yeah.
And I got one of each. I split 50-50. So I get a
best
little bit of each.
Worlds.
Yeah. A little bit of both worlds. But no, I just want to talk for a few minutes. I've had some dads, well, throughout the years, but just more recently, just kind of ask me random advice, or they weren't even actually asking me advice. It was just a conversation. It turned into advice because they know what I do for a living. So they just kind of wonder what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. They were just kind of thinking, hey, you know, I don't want my daughters to be those typical crazy teenagers that every parent worries about, where they're sneaking out, running around, always on their phone. Just, you know, just those typical teenagers that every parent is fearful of creating and raising, where they want everything immediately, and if you don't give it to them, it's like, you know, they're the daughter of that, what's that, what was that girl in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa, and I want it now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't remember her name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, she was a mini Karen in the making, right?
Mm-hmm. Before the Karens.
So, yeah, before the Karens. And obviously, nobody wants to raise a daughter like that. We want to raise strong, resilient, happy, confident, curious, creative daughters that can, you know, be loving, compassionate, caring, just all the best attributes of a woman, but also too know how to, you know, how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Know how to, you know, look at those boys when they give some bad, you know, pickup lines or say some sexually inappropriate things. You look a boy in the eye and be like, excuse me,
yeah,
get the hell out of here, man. Like, just walk away, right. Like, get out of my face, fool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we definitely don't want daughters to be played and taken advantage of, but also mm-hmm. want them to be confident and strong, and that's going to help them be resilient in those situations. So I just want to take a few minutes to share some of the things that Kenneth and I have both been doing and will continue to do that have worked for us. And then just give you guys some of those nuggets. You can take those home, add it to your quiver, and you guys can use that as well for helping your daughters being able to meet their potential, because I'm sure every dad, every mom listening to this is thinking, how do I make my daughter better than me? How do I get my daughter to be exceptional, not just average, and definitely not below average?
Right.
So, Kenneth, as you're thinking of some things, I want to bring up a couple things that I've done with my daughter. And one thing in particular I did with her at a very young age, and I'm so glad I did. I read an article. This is going to seem random at first, but you guys will pick up on it. I read an article a long time ago, one of the psychology journals and statistics. Like, I just get emails like that all the time. So I see some topics. Like, oh, that's interesting. Well, one came across my desk that said, dads, one way to empower your daughters, to make them feel powerful, strong, capable, to not be feeble and weak and stuff like that, is when they're young, specifically it was between the ages, I believe, 1 and 6 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. They said, you should wrestle with your daughters,
mm-hmm.
and you should, it gave very specific, because when it said wrestle, I'm like, okay, obviously you're not a full grown man, like just pinning your daughter on the ground, right?
Yeah,
but because I'm into jiu-jitsu and I've been into grappling for a long time, I was curious about what it said. And it said, no, like like play wrestle with them, kind of like what we'd call in jiu-jitsu, like just kind of flow with them a little bit, move around with them a little bit. But most importantly, at some point in the interaction, allow them, not let them, but allow them to win. And the distinction between that was, it wasn't like, oh, you know, you just lay down the ground, she throws you down, you get on top of her. It's like, no, give a little bit of resistance, kind of be playful, whatever, and show that, like, if she starts to get the best, be like, oh my gosh, you're turning me over on my back. Okay, you can do this. Well, I started my daughter at 4 years old in jiu-jitsu. And at 4 year old, like that whole summer, she did jiu-jitsu like, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. And then the next summer, the same thing periodically throughout the winter. So from 4 to 9 years old, my daughter was frequently in and out of jiu-jitsu. And then when she and I would, you know, do jiu-jitsu at home in the living room, stuff like that, I followed those instructions. And I saw in the very beginning, she's very timid and like she was looking at me like, there's no way I could take my dad. But then she started to feel my resistance, my strength. I'm like, okay, now push a little bit harder. Do this, do that. Okay, put my leg down here. So I was giving her instructions. Now, every dad, if you don't know wrestling or jiu-jitsu, it'd be hard to give instructions. But I think you could figure out like, hey, you know, if you want to help your daughter get an advantage of you, you got to help her out a little bit. The more I started to do that, I noticed a very significant change. In fact, it changed when she was going to jiu-jitsu. It changed when I would ask her for her opinion on something. She could tell me no. My daughter was always really scared to make me or my wife upset or disappointed. So she would say things like, I'd say like, hey, do you want to eat this for food? She's like, yeah, you know, I really like this. Thank you so much. I don't really like it right now though. I don't want to eat it right now. She's really struggling with that. The more we started to do these games, she started to be like, hey dad, I don't really like it. It's okay. Now I had to coach her a little bit, say, hey, you don't need to tell me I thank you so much. This, you don't have to be so apologetic every time. You can be polite, but it's just helping her kind of find that middle ground. So that's something that really helped me. And when I read the statistics on how it's helped their self-confidence, stuff like that, I just want to give it a try. Is there anything that you've been doing with your daughters that comes to mind? Just, it doesn't have to be anything like that, that maybe you and your wife been working on, that's just that you guys have seen has been showing results in regards to them developing their own sense of self, their own personality, things like that.
Yeah, I love that, actually, that example that you gave. But another thing that we've been working on is boundary setting, kind of like what you mentioned. So a lot of times when my oldest daughter, she's very fun-loving and caring and wants to nurturing, and she wants to give people hugs and things of that nature. So one day at school, there was this little boy named Bradley, and she's so caring and wants to hug everybody. And then, like, she goes to hug him. And she was, and the guy was like, the kid, little kiddo was like, I don't want to hug. And she was like, oh, he don't want to be my friend. Like, you know what I'm saying? She goes and runs away. And we try to tell her, like, that's just his way. Maybe he's not comfortable with you giving him a hug. And we're just trying to let her know, like, just as he has boundaries, you have to have boundaries yourself. Like, for instance, like when she's trying to hug her younger sister, Kenley's like, I don't want, no. But the thing about it is, we tell her, like, once you do set a boundary, like, tell the reason why you're setting this boundary so that you won't be disappointed. You won't feel like you left alone. So, like, now when I tell Brooklyn, hey, Brooklyn, I don't want to hug right now. The reason why I want to hug is because you're freaking cold right now, and you trying to hug me is going to make me cold. So I'm trying to, like, give her, like, the background as to why.
Give description so it doesn't hurt the other kid's feelings.
Exactly. And so that's one thing we've been doing, you know, just trying to tell her, like, okay, set your boundary, but explain why. Like, you know what I'm saying? So just like you gave the food analogy, like she's very picky eater. So she tries to be nice, like, daddy. She would be like, I'm like, do you want this? Like, you know, this type of food. She'd be like, no, because that's just not, like, kind of what your daughter said. No, I just don't like that. I don't want that right now. So now she's getting better at setting the boundary and then telling the reason why. So that's one thing she's been doing really well.
I'm so glad you and your wife are working on your girls with that, because I hear a lot of people, parents in general, say things like, hey, use your words, your words. And what the parent doesn't realize, and I'm sure I've made the same mistake, because it's not like I'm perfect at this. The parent doesn't realize at that particular moment, when you're repeating, use your words over and over again, your kid doesn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
Just because you told them 2 months ago a long speech about why they need to describe their feelings, why they're mad at their sister, why they're mad at whoever and how they're feeling. You may have said that a long time ago. And said, that's, if you just jump right back and then say, use your words, their brain does not go back to that conversation and automatically recall all that information. In fact, just the terminology, use your words, they may be trying to figure out and think what you even mean by that. Your brain's thinking, it's obvious what I mean by that. I've told you that many times before. Use your words, use your words. But all too often, we're using words like use your words that are not words that make sense to them. So what you guys are doing, what you guys are doing is a lot better. You're saying, okay, told her you don't want her to hug you. But did you say why? Right. So why don't you tell her exactly why? Because if you don't tell her why, like if you ask your friend, hey, can I play with your toy? And they say, no, you could, oh my gosh, they're not my friend. They don't like me. But if they say no, because I got to go right now, but you can play with it next time. Well, that's going to hurt a whole lot less, right? That's not a personal attack. I think you and your wife are onto some good stuff with that one right there.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like later on in life, when we tell them no, like say for instance, she's 16, want to go out with friends, and we be like, hey, mommy, dad, can we go out with our friends? And we be like, no, and not tell her anything, she's probably going to be like, you know what, I'm going to, you know, do it anyway, you know, type of thing. But if we gave her the context of why we told her no, then she'll realize, well, maybe that isn't good for me to go out there with my friends because this could happen, because we gave them the background and described why we told them no. So that's another thing too.
Well, you guys are choosing the pathway of more energy and time spent in communicating to your kids, which is also the pathway of more work as a parent. So just so you know, you and your wife aren't taking the easy route, because the easy route is not explaining, to get irritated. It's such a bad habit when parents get in the habit of just getting angry every time their kids ask them for more information or ask for more details. Even if you've explained it over and over again, it really puts it on us as parents. Apparently, we're not getting good at being creative at explaining things. We're not good at making our point, or we're not good at just keeping the conversation moving. Those are totally different skills. You know, the kids always say, hey, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And say, well, for the same reason I told you 300 times before. Okay, that's not gonna do it. Or if or if the parent's like, why do you keep on bugging me? I told you already, quit asking me questions.
Right.
It's frustration. It's not fair, but the kid just sees that as rejection. I'm not good enough. I'm a nuisance to my parents, right? Or one of my favorite ones is that the kid will be asking over and over again, and the parent starts to use sarcasm. So I'd say, oh, gee, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to take you to hang out with your friends and give you money to pay for it when you've done nothing for me all week long and have totally just been disrespectful and a liar. Right? That type of approach to those things, you're not teaching any lessons. You're not teaching them how to be better communicators. And what Kenneth is saying, if you want your kids to be better at giving you detailed information, answering your questions, then you got to get better at giving them detailed information and be more creative at answering their questions. You can get better at telling your kids something they don't want to hear if your goal is to get better at telling them things they don't want to hear. If you just want to shut it down and make it go away, what do you think's going to happen, Kay?
Good luck.
Yeah, especially if your daughter's got your wife's DNA and your mom's DNA, that ain't no beta DNA.
Good luck.
They're going to sit there and go, oh, why not? You're gonna be going, luck. Hey, you're going to lose that one, Kenneth. You're going to lose those arguments more times than you can even imagine.
Good luck. That's all I got to say. And I'm in a house full of women, so good luck. That's what basically I say in my head. Good luck. You try it if you want to. Good luck.
Yep. The last one I wanted to add, because I know you got to get going, is my mom. She's based on my mom, my wife. She had a friend that was a nurse. And right when our daughter was born, she gave us a bunch of these children's books about personal space and boundaries, more specifically about your private spots, your private parts of your body. And reading those books, my daughter, young age, reading books that reaffirm that these are sacred parts of your body. Yes. And that if anyone, like, just taking the shame out of it, hey, come and talk to us if anyone tries to touch you there, or if anyone asks to touch you there, this and that. If someone tries to touch you there, like, we even said things like, hey, you know, if they touch you there, it's confusing because, like, oh my gosh, like, that felt different or weird, or it might have even felt good in a certain way. And if you're confused, keeping that line of communication open with your kids. And that example you just used with your daughters, that's a great way to do it, is allowing them to see you give details to them when they're asking you questions. It's going to teach them how to give better details to you when you're asking them questions. Because as a parent, there's a good chance throughout your kid's life, at least I hope, there's moments where you're going to question them about if people have touched them or have tried to touch them, Or if there's scenarios or situations where, you know, you see, you know, your kid going over, you know, you got two girls. I know you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, just go play at whatever girlfriend's house you want, even if she has a bunch of older teenage brothers who look like they're punks. That's not happening on my watch. That's not happening on K Scott's watch.
No, sir.
Definitely not on our wife's watch. It's like, we don't know what creepy uncle that kid may have living in the basement. You know what I mean? But teaching your kids about their body, step one, teach them how to communicate their body, and then also teach them about what you feel and think about them in greater detail and about their questions. It models that same thing. What are your thoughts on that, Kay?
Spot on, especially the lower parts, the private parts. She's already questioning, like, Dad, this is a, you know what? And I'm like, yeah. She was like, Daddy, you don't have, no, Daddy does not have one of those. No, Daddy, what do you have? Boom, you know, so it's like,
yeah, Mom, tell her.
So those conversations are coming up. They're uncomfortable at first, but they're much needed to discuss with them for sure, just so they can have the thought and the idea of what it is, what it's used for, stuff like that. You know, the birds and the bees talk.
And the birds and the bees talk is a great one for parents, because we all had, well, we didn't necessarily get it from our parents growing up, because the times were different, you know, but found a lot of stuff from your friends, unfortunately. But we all know that's going to be an uncomfortable position for us to be with our kids and having those uncomfortable conversations. However, the better you get at being calm and relaxed in uncomfortable conversations, the better they're going to get at receiving uncomfortable information and feel comfortable to ask you questions, because you don't show that you can't handle certain questions. Parents that get freaked out just by questions, that react to just questions, unknowingly are making a huge, it's like playing a game of poker and you get like, you know, three aces, like your body language totally gives away, except it's the opposite because it's not exciting. The body language totally gives away what you're thinking and feeling before, you know, while you're playing the game. So you want to keep, even if you are freaked out, even if you are worried, you want to go, oh, interesting, okay. And like, just kind of like go along with it and kind of hear them out. Try to hold back any of your thoughts, feelings, opinions, and a bunch of interrogating questions, just so they get more comfortable. So your job as a parent to make your kid feel more comfortable to ask questions. You show your kid it's more that you can be comfortable answering questions, and it's going to show them that they can be more comfortable answering questions as well. Okay. Now, I know, Kay, I know you got to take off right now to go pick up your girl. Which is why I had this conversation.
Yeah.
But if you want to go, or if you want to go, I know you got to go. So why don't you go ahead and just take off in a second? I'm just going to say a couple of final thoughts, because I wanted to make today's a short conversation, and then we'll jump on in another week or so and give some people some other part twos to the girl part and talk more about the teenage girls, because obviously these girls that we're raising, you guys, are going to, we'll go from kids right now. Next conversation, we talk about preteens, then we'll get to teenagers. For all you fathers out there, all you parents out there that don't want your daughters to grow up to date the wrong guy, to marry the wrong person, or whoever they're going to be with, whatever, get the right job, have the right friendships. And these are some little tidbits and nuggets of information that could be helpful in that process. So Kay, you can say goodbye to all the peeps out there.
Man, everyone, appreciate you for always tuning in, listening in. Grab a friend, grab their ear so they can take a listen to it too, from the OG.
That's right. share the reels when they come out.
Yes.
I'm a man.
Yeah. Share the reels with not only and watch it with another person. And
that's it.
Patreon.
That's right. All right, man. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Peace. Last thing I want to leave all you parents with, like I said, just want to give a couple of suggestions and nuggets of information in regards to how, you know, what are some things you can do to help your daughters be more resilient, be more confident. And another thing, I want you to have a conversation. Well, this is one other thing to consider, to have a conversation with your kids about your cell phone. What I mean is your cell phone usage. If we want our daughters, because obviously today's topic is focused on our daughters, if we want our daughters to be able to navigate the digital world without being addicted to their devices, we're definitely going to have to model that. Well, even if we are addicted to our devices, or if we, you know, are on them all the time, we have to model for them that we can have restraint, that we can set our devices down at certain times. If there's certain no-fly zone rules. I know with some of the families I work with, they do that at the dinner table. They do that in certain family functions. where they all have to not necessarily agree, because not everybody's going to want to do this, but they all have to go along with certain rules of the family. Now, certain rules of the family, if the parents say, listen, I'm going to start putting my phone down during dinner time, everybody's going to put their phones down during dinner time, and the parent does that, and the parent does it consistently, and it starts out with their kids at a young age, it'll be easier to get your teenagers not to bring phones to the dinner table if you guys have been doing that ever since they were a kid. So all the stuff that we're talking about here really begins with you, parents. Begins with you giving the type of behavior that you're desiring for your kids to give to you. So if you want better answers to your questions, if you want more detail, well, then you're going to have to get comfortable with giving them better answers and giving them more detail. Better answers doesn't necessarily mean that you have to tell them what they want, because that would be dishonest. That would be disingenuous. It wouldn't be a good answer for their overall development and well-being. It's just going to be an answer just to get them to get away from you or leave you alone for the moment. So do your best, parents, to take the time to see the questions that your kids are asking you as more than just a nuisance or inconvenience. See it as an opportunity for you to get better at helping them understand the reality in which they live in, instead of making it feel like it's personal, that you're dismissing what they're saying, you're tired, you don't have time for their questions. Or another thing too, if you are tired, you don't have time for their questions, take a little bit of extra moments, use some extra words, create a bunch of sentences together to describe to them, explain to them why you don't have the time or why you're unable to answer their questions at that particular moment. Calm down your breathing. Pay really close attention to your body language, your facial expressions, that you don't look overbearing, posturing, angry, upset, because your words could come out. It's like, hey, I'm not mad at you and I'm not frustrated with you. I'm just having a bad day. But if it's still really intense and you're like, I'm not mad at you, I'm just having a bad day, that's not going to really come through in that type of communication. Now, what I'm giving you guys is suggestions. I realize this can be hard to do. And I realize this is not something, you know, that your parents even thought about doing. Maybe they do now, but when you're growing up, I doubt anyone listened to any therapist in this manner, unless they're going to real therapy for quite some time. So for all you guys out there listening to this, because I'm not your therapist, I'm just one of the OG therapists out there in the world. I suggest you take my suggestion and take the suggestions of Kenneth, that not just because we're just raising daughters, but also we're seeing around us very similar things, that kids follow the leaders. They're the employees of the company. But if we want to bring them into seeing their full potential, which they have the potential to become an owner of the family business, then we're going to have to help them get into management, having more say, having a seat at the table to make decisions, or at least influence decisions that you guys are making as parents inside the household and inside the family. If you listen to your kids, they feel like they have a say. When you use their information to alter, make changes and plans, could be just for dinner, it could be major things to families, they feel like they have sway over you, aka influence or power over you. Then they feel like their words carry weight, it matters. So now they're going to be more likely to be engaged in family interactions and more likely to want to give valuable input to the family. We need our kids from a very young age as they get older to bring data and information from the world, bring it to the family so the family can stay in tuned for what's going on. And also the family can make necessary adjustments if there's certain things in the environment, in the world, that needs to be changed. Parents are focused on survival, day-to-day operations, consistency, getting things done. Teenagers and kids, they're definitely more in the creative stages in their life. Their brain's developing. They don't have as many limitations. They don't get to worry about paying taxes, things of that nature. So our kids are kind of like they're the foot soldiers. They're the people out there testing, you know, everything and bringing it back. So it's important for us as parents that we don't shut down everything that our kids ask us, the information they bring to us in our house, even though if we're scared that information may like a virus get into our family and may corrupt us, or maybe just bad ideas, even if we're scared of those things, even bad ideas from your kids, even ridiculous things that they say should be considered, so they know regardless what they bring to you, they're going to get your undivided attention. And then once they get your undivided attention, then when it's your turn to talk to them, your words will have influence. Because the law of the land says if someone takes the time to listen to your thoughts, feelings, and opinions, take you seriously, consider what you are saying and what you're doing as being something worth considering, then when it's your time to talk, even if they don't agree with you, even if they don't like you, even if they don't want to follow you, the rules of this universe go, they're more likely to pay attention to what you want, what you think, and your opinions and your feelings after you have done that for them. So parents and anyone out there listening, remember you can always follow us on Instagram. It's og.therapy. You can follow me on Instagram at David_KOZLOWSKI_again. That's on Instagram. On YouTube, we're OG Therapy. We got lots of videos on YouTube. We're going to be putting more videos on YouTube as well. We're also on Patreon, on TikTok as well. Because I don't run the TikTok account, I'm going to have to get to you guys next week to let you guys know what our handle on TikTok is, because I forgot off the top of my head. We just started 2 weeks ago. But we got videos and reels going up on TikTok, YouTube as well, a lot of full-length videos on YouTube. And, of course, for those of you who want to pay an extra $5 a month to get an extra over two years of bonus content that is not on Apple or Spotify or any of the other podcast platforms, all you got to do is go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. And there you'll be able to get that extra content. Like I said, it's just $5 a month, but it is behind a paywall, so you would have to sign up for that. And those are also videos too. So right now we're just taking all these podcasts, we're posting them up on Patreon. So you get the video version of these podcasts, and you get a whole bunch of old podcasts that weren't even posted to begin with on any podcast platform. So check that out if you're interested. And remember, you guys, whether it's family, friends, any type of intimate relationship that's got you stressed out and got you down on your knees saying, please, Lord, please, just remember, you can always press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.